It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Suck it. Look around the edge.
Buongiorno. I'm Fabio. And I'm very interested in what makes romance work.
The rectum is a very, very fine mucous membrane. It tears very easily.
I want to share with you my recipe for a perfect evening. An evening for two lovers.
But I am worried about doing damage to the rectum.
When I plan a date, I want to make sure that everything is perfect for us.
I can't guarantee anything.
Music is the most important thing to set the mood for the night.
Some people like it when their partner pees on their face.
When I play a special song, it's very important because it can express what I feel so perfectly.
This is abuse.
A song can speak for me when I cannot put my feelings into words.
And then you have anal sex.
I listen to a solo and I think of it well.
You go to oral sex and you're putting feces in your mouth.
When it's dark, turn on the music. I light the candles. There is no timetable for us.
That's not what you normally do with a penis.
For the fantasy that we will make come true.
Because that's what this is. This is fantasy, folks.
I'm all wet down there.
Now is the hour of the reckoning.
That's my man juice. Yes.
I want Black Ripe Uncut Dick now!
I enjoy watching animals rape each other.
I am Mr. Flexible!
Why does man have to have such a sweet record?
Nigga beats a tree and a hole and a slut with a pussy and a can and a hole and a damn hot pocket between her damn legs.
Yes, Timothy Jamal Warner Henson. This right here is Distorted View Daily. Thank you so much for checking out the Tuesday podcast. Have a great one for you. Are you all enjoying your McShoulder meat sandwiches? It's back for a limited time only. Also known as the McRib. There's very little rib meat in that sandwich. I find, surprisingly, I, of all people, find... the McRib to be disgusting. I don't like anything about it. I don't like it, the taste. I don't like that they form it, this like mushy meat to make it look like ribs, you know, like with bones and stuff, but there are no bones in it. It's really quite disgusting in my opinion. You know, the reason why they created the McRib in the first place was because shortly after the, chicken nuggets were introduced. Those were such a killer product. Everyone wanted the chicken nuggets, right? When McDonald's introduced them. They were such a hot seller that McDonald's couldn't keep up with the demand to supply the restaurants with the chicken nuggets. And, you know, keep in mind, we're not talking about the chicken nuggets today, the all-white meat chicken nuggets. We're talking about the original chicken nuggets. The fucking disgusting, you know, like... I don't know where they were getting the meat, the beak maybe, the feet, I don't know. But you would bite into the chicken nugget and you would get like knots and tendons and shit. It was really quite disgusting, but for some reason, America loved the idea of the chicken nuggets and McDonald's couldn't keep up with demand. So what they did was they came up with another product to give to the restaurants that couldn't get the chicken nuggets. And that's when the McRib was born. And they quickly found out that, you know, the McRib didn't sell as well. It worked much better when it was a special item, meaning it would only, like, pop up once or twice a year. It made it really special. Now, again, I don't care about the McRib, but I did go to McDonald's for one of their seasonal offerings, their eggnog shake, which is delicious. And then I found out that they have a holiday pie, which I'd never seen before. And I was curious. I was pie curious. I'm a big fucking faggot. So I went to the McDonald's And I said, hey, I would like two holiday pies because I was with my roommate. We both wanted to try the goddamn pie. And they were out. How are they out of pies? I don't understand. First of all, it's not like there's a fucking baker. You know what I mean? Like baking the pies back there. It comes on a goddamn truck. They warm them up and that's it. What they meant to say was, we haven't warmed any up. And really, how hard is it to pop a puff of fucking pie in the microwave or keep it under their goddamn heat lamps or whatever they do? Because the very next day, they had pies again. And it's not like a big pie truck, you know. They didn't fly pies in overnight to this McDaniels. I don't understand. So I went to another one. They were out. They only had one. And I tried. I finally got the pie. It was lukewarm. Wasn't warm at all. And, you know, it was like a sugar cookie crust, which was delicious. And then the pie filling was like some sort of vanilla custard, which was okay. They've really quite, they're starting to expand their holiday offerings. I know they do like peppermint mochas now and some, you know, gingerbread coffee. But for Christ's sakes, McDonald's, come on, keep your pies warm for me. They don't care. McDonald's is riding high, by the way. I don't know why I was reading so much about McDonald's, but apparently, like a couple quarters ago, their financials were not so good. And then, like last month, they highly encouraged the McDonald's stores to stay open for Thanksgiving, and that apparently paid off. So now I think many McDonald's are going to be open for Christmas. Poor fucking workers. I don't know what's more sad, having to work at a McDonald's on Christmas or having, like, you have to go to eat at a McDonald's for Christmas. Like, you have no one in your life, no family or friends, so you get a, you know, you get a quarter pounder and that's your Christmas. Very sad. It's no wonder people fucking commit suicide on Christmas. People, just stop asking your coworkers, what are you doing for Christmas? Because maybe they're not doing anything and you're gonna make them feel like shit. I get that a lot. First of all, I don't care what other people are doing for Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? So when your friend asks you, oh, what are you doing for the holidays? Do they really care or do they just want to talk about themselves? They're just waiting for that point where you say, oh, I'm doing this, this, this. And what are you doing? Oh, I'm going out of town. I got family in Colorado. We're going to go skiing. We do it every year. We got a chateau. What? I don't care. People were asking me on Thanksgiving. And then when you tell them you're not doing anything, they question you even more. Why not? You're not going home for Thanksgiving? What are you going to do then? What the hell business of yours is it? I'm gonna sit at home and have a fucking masturbation session. That's what I'm going to give thanks for. My penis being able to produce buckets of cum. The fact that I can orgasm over and over and over. 7-8 times a day. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit there and jerk off to the Thanksgiving parade. Yeah, the little high school cheerleaders. Yeah. Oh, the Snoopy float. I'm going to blow my wad all over the television screen, all over the Peanuts characters. Who cares what I'm doing for Thanksgiving? Just spend it with your dopey-ass family. And don't worry about other people. Jesus. All right, listen. I have got a Sextastic Tuesday you probably have not heard. Even though it is a classic edition. What, Tim? That's crazy talk. Explain yourself. All right, I will. Back in 2007, shortly after I launched the Sideshow, for some reason or another, I did a Sideshow exclusive Christmas-themed Sextastic Tuesday story. It's been lost in the archive for years, but I found, I dug it up, and I presented to you today a holiday-themed story entitled Sextastic Santa. Enjoy.
It's sextastic. Lick my stink box.
It was Christmas Eve morning, and Santa Claus was getting ready for his Christmas journey. He laid down his pipe and was ready to pack up until Mrs. Claus startled him at the door. Mrs. Claus ran her fingers on her ruby-red robe, revealing her wrinkled, pruny breasts. Pruny. Which sagged like seasoned bagpipes. Santa remembered giving her those floppy, back-breaking implants back in 1983, along with a men-at-work record she kind of wanted. Okay.
Santa stood up from his chair and displayed a bold erection under his pants. A bold erection. I love the way he writes this. Very descriptive. Santa liked his milk straight from the tap, if you know what I mean, and started to suck Mrs. Claus' rack like a hungry, hungry hippo. Mrs. Claus ran her hands down to Santa's big black belt and unzipped his velvet pants. Santa's cock looked veiny like a grandmother's blueberry-colored varicose vein. Santa's cock throbbed like a washed-up jellyfish on a beach. His scrotum was strained and plump like Santa's sack of toys. Without hesitation, Santa grabbed Mrs. Claus by her blue elderly hair and forced her over his candy cane. Mrs. Claus enjoyed the gurgling and gagging as she bowed down at Santa's throne of cock. Santa then returned the favor and went down on Mrs. Claus. His tongue danced like sugar plums on Mrs. Claus's clit. Santa's beard was covered in jolly genital juice, like a sponge absorbing a catastrophic kitchen spill. Mr. Clean would be proud. Mrs. Claus's 340-year-old pussy was ragged and hairy like a seasick pirate, or looked like a drunk red fox after a mugshot. I believe in the 3 years we've been doing Sextastic Tuesday, this is the first Red Fox reference. You big dummy. That was my Red Fox impression. You big dummy. That's all I got. Her cunt was layered with skin like the inside of a meaty Reuben sandwich and smelled, as if a burrowing possum crawled up her cunt and died. Well, yeah, it's 340 years old. Christ. Santa finger-fucked her so deep he lost his wristwatch. Mrs. Claus was concerned, but Santa assured her that the slaves, I mean elves, would make him another one. Santa was so ready to fuck until Mrs. Claus's pussy started flowing with what looked like Thanksgiving cranberry sauce. Mrs. Claus still gets her period? Mrs. Claus menstruated on Santa's face and made him look bloodier than the dude from Passion of the Christ. That dude, of course, being Christ. Santa was frustrated and stormed off to the elf workshop. He then summoned the hottest elves to come to his office. Without a word, Santa exposed his Yuletide log to four blonde, beautiful elves. It towered over them like a chimney and was certainly hard like bricks. One of the elves refused to do anything sexual. Santa calmly took off one of his large black boots. He then leaned back and did a gigantic football punt to the elf cunt. Okay. Then, by surprise, Santa took out his 9mm and shot her in the neck. Santa laughed. Ho, ho, ho! Elves are a dime a dozen. There's plenty more of you Keebler elves that will do the deed. Ooh, that's insulting. His belly shook like a bowl full of jelly, or someone with Parkinson's disease doing the chicken dance during an earthquake. The other elves knew this meant job promotions, so they fought over Santa's cock like little piggies fighting over Mama's tits. It also beat working on the assembly line making Hannah Montana dolls. One of the elves rubbed her tiny pussy on Santa's face, while one elf munched on Santa's cock like eating water buffalo cock on Fear Factor. I see a pattern to Corey's writing here. Every sentence has the word like in it. It was disgusting, but she knew it had to be done. Then, one elf was riding Santa's cock like a drunk housewife on a mechanical bull. Her hair was tangled and her makeup was smeared. Santa roughed her up like grandma after a good tumble down the stairs. Santa then got on all fours and started shouting, "I've been a bad reindeer," and was spanked by the elves. His ass became raw, and it pained. His ass began to look like the future love child of Rosie O'Donnell and Meatloaf. Then, out of nowhere, there came such a clatter in Santa's bowels. Oh, no. Santa had an anal eruption. Out came a burst of what looked like a moist fruitcake with cherries, pineapples, and nuts. Since the elves were starving and in a festive mood, they started to devour Santa's shit. Well, let's see. If he's shitting hard fruitcake, that's definitely like a type 2 on the Bristol stool chart. The elves were covered in it, like mud people at Woodstock. They played with it, drank it, vomited it out on each other. Little did he know, that's hard to say, by the way, vomited it out. Try to say that 5 times fast. Vomited it out, vomited it out, vomited it. Okay, I guess it's not that hard. Retard. part. Little did he know it became an underground hit video called Three Elves, One Cup. Santa then literally tossed his cookies and milk. Santa still could not come. His desires turned to the beast. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, come get a little of Santa's good fixins, Santa shouted. The reindeers crashed through the walls like the large Kool-Aid man. Oh yeah! One by one, Santa anally penetrated the deer with his candy cane of veins. Candy cane of veins. At this point, Santa's North Pole was the size of Vin Diesel's arms. He was about ready to blow. Then Santa began singing, "You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming in your ass!" Santa then pulled out of Blitzen and shot streams of cock eggnog. Cock eggnog. Haphazardly all over the reindeer, like tinsel on a Christmas tree. It was a white Christmas indeed. But then suddenly, Santa remembered the children. Oh, yes. Oh, no. The children. He remembered all those children at the malls that had requested toys. Some children wanted their cancer cured, but all Santa could give them was a chia pet. Look, it grows hair. Hair that you'll never have for Christmas. Even though Santa never enjoyed the malls and getting pissed on by crying, snot-nosed, violent creature children, he knew he couldn't let them down. Plus, he needed the money. Santa cleaned up the scene, including his rod. He dashed out the door faster than a wink and a nod. His sleigh departed quickly into the night. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Yes, there you go. That's your Sextastic Tuesday for December 18th, 2012, brought to you by our amazing partners at AdamandEve.com. For a limited time, you can get 50% off just about any item. That's half off, plus free shipping. They're going to throw in three free adult DVDs that you get to choose and a mystery gift. All for using coupon code FREAK or DV at checkout. Now listen, Christmas is coming up. It's right around the corner. Now is the time to get your lover, right? The lady in your life or the dude you're banging. A toy or something sexy. Make it a stocking stuffer. Now this is why it works. Because it's Christmas and you're supposed to give gifts, you know? Like, I understand it might be a little embarrassing to get your girlfriend a vibrator and you know, because you want to watch her masturbate with it or something. I don't know what you're into. Whatever. Handcuffs, you know, whips, whatever you're into. It's kind of embarrassing, I understand. But if you make it a Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer, it's not that big of a deal. Like, oh, I just got you this little something. Yeah, you know, we can try it out or not. Yeah, it's a joke. I don't know. I don't know how you people work, how you operate. I don't know what it's like to be in a relationship. I don't know what it's like to have sex. I do know a good deal when I see one, though. 50%, half off just about any item. Plus three free adult DVDs, a mystery gift, all with free shipping. Now, if you go to AdamandEve.com, and they've got a special code you can use. They've got a deal going right now. Free shipping once you spend $69. That is an awful deal. This is a much better deal. Spend whatever you want. You're going to get half off that item. Three free adult DVDs and a mystery gift. Remember, coupon code FREAK, or if you've already used that, coupon code DV. All right, and with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted up, fucked up news right now. They've got some sort of, like, fetish fantasy kit, and it includes bondage tape, eye masks, a feather tickler, and Benoit balls. I saw that on their main page. All right, listen, if you're not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow, now is the best time of the entire year to become a member. SuperFreakSideshow.com. It is DV's member site. Full access to the entire archive of programs. Plus, every week we do extended shows like the one today. We've got an exclusive program on Thursday, an exclusive music program on Monday. Plus, I'm messing around with some video stuff, so I'll be posting a couple video clips just for Sideshow Freaks this week. Again, SuperFreakSideshow.com. If you go to DistortedView.com right now, there is a link for a Christmas special. If you want to sign up for a reoccurring yearly membership, you can get it now for $50. Normal price is $66.99. It doesn't take a genius to figure out the savings there, but it is a very limited time. It's a Christmas deal. This is it's going to end in the next couple days. So sign up right now, superfreaksideshow.com, and you can grab today's extended program, among other things. Thousands of programs at your fingertips. Three quick stories now, then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, a mother of three girls had a hysterectomy, only to be told by doctors afterwards that while she slept, they also aborted the son she always wanted but didn't know she was carrying. Whoops. Suzanne Doherty, 42, woke up after surgery to be told that the baby boy she always wanted had been terminated. So here are the chain of events, right? She this woman gets knocked up. She has a girl.
Oh, I love her.
All right, then she gets knocked up again and has another girl.
Oh, great. Well, let's have a third. I want a boy.
And then she has, like, another girl after that. And then she realizes, well, the only thing I'm going to pump out, you know, are bitches. So she decides to close up shop, have a hysterectomy. I don't know if she decided to have a hysterectomy or if the doctors told her she needed to have a hysterectomy. But apparently she was knocked up at the time. She didn't know it. And the little fetus inside had a dick. Ms. Doherty was left suffering from depression after the operation performed at the Royal Cornwall Hospital. She was unaware. She was 14 weeks pregnant. Like, if you were the doctor getting ready to perform the hysterectomy, and then you noticed that there is, in fact, a baby growing inside this bitch, wouldn't you just wait for the drugs to wear off? Her to wake up and say, excuse me, miss. Funny thing, we ran into something when we were getting ready to give you a hysterectomy. A baby is inside of you. What do you want to do with this thing? Should we go ahead with the procedure? Do you want to have this kid? Whatever. The doctor just took it into their own hands, quite literally. He ripped the baby out of her. And he held it up, kind of like in Mortal Kombat. Like when, you know, like when he jams his, I don't know who it was, Scorpion or whatever, jams his fist into his opponent's chest and rips out the heart. Same type of thing. Finish him. All right. This is what happens when you're raised on video games. That doctor probably played hours and hours of Mortal Kombat. The procedure meant the unborn baby died. Oh, wait a second. She was unaware she was 14 weeks pregnant. Medical staff also failed to spot the unborn fetus, despite a consultant noticing that Mrs. Doherty's uterus was abnormally large before the operation. They didn't look into that at all. The procedure meant the unborn baby died. Mrs. Doherty was awarded £62,000 after the hospital admitted liability and a catalog of errors. Rob Jones, the consultant gynecologist at the hospital who delivered the Prime Minister's daughter Florence in 2010, Flo, is currently being investigated for misconduct and has resigned and removed his name from the medical register. Some 1,500 of his patients are having their cases reviewed, but it's not clear whether he was specifically involved in Mrs. Doherty. Case. Mrs. Doherty, who lives in St. Mabon, Cornwall or something, said the ordeal of the operation in 2007 sent her into a spiral of depression. You have three other fucking kids. I realize, you know, it would have been great to have a son, but you can't always get what you want. It's not a right. You know, it's like you're not owed a fucking boy. It's just the way the cookie fucking crumbles. Should have held. It's your own fault, quite frankly. You had to have that hysterectomy. You couldn't wait a couple weeks. She said, I was told the operation had been a success. Well, defined success. But unfortunately, a fetus had been discovered, and the fetus had been terminated. Why did the doctor even tell them the sex of the baby? He could have just said, we couldn't determine it, or whatever. I was told with just the curtains pulled, so there were other people in the bay that heard what had happened. It shouldn't happen in this day and age. There are so many checks. It shouldn't get to this point where a pregnancy was missed. Mrs. Doherty said the following that following the operation, she was physically well, but had long bouts of quite bad depression. I mean, I realize we live in a free world. This happened over there in the UK, but I'm just talking about the United States. Why can't we have a limit on kids here? I mean, come on. We've got some real problems. Overpopulation, etc. It's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. And I realize it's way worse in other countries. But, come on. All these poor people having oodles of children. It's enough already. How about a limit? There should be a limit. The limit of children should directly be based on your income. All right. Stick with me here. If you're a poor person, right, and you have 12 children, those 12 children are probably going to grow up poor. And in turn, they will need to be put on public assistance, right? That's more government money going to poor people. Now, if they, if the poor people were limited to just having one child, then that one kid, you know, would have to be on government assistance. But that's it. Now, rich people, on the other hand, who can afford their kids, you know, if you're a millionaire, go ahead, have 20 kids. What's great about it is those 20 kids will start sucking off of, you know, the rich parents, and their money will become depleted, and they'll become middle class, right? And then when those children become middle, you know, become of age to have kids, they won't have as much money in the family because there were so many kids just draining them dry. So now they're middle class, and now they can only have up to 5 kids. And then you see what happens there. I guess. I don't know. Again, let me solve all the world's problems. So there you go. That's the first story. Second one we have for you today. Squeezing titties kills cancer. It's science fact. So guys, go wild at the bars. A little squeeze may be all that it takes to prevent malignant breast cells triggering cancer. Laboratory experiments showed that applying physical pressure to cells guided them back to a normal growth pattern. So what this tells me is girls who like to get titty fucked probably don't get cancer. So ladies, open up your breasts just enough for a penis to enter. Let's allow some hot dogging. Your breasts will thank you. Scientists believe the research provides clues that could lead to new treatments. People have known for centuries that physical force can influence our bodies, said Gautam Venugopalan, a leading member of the research team at the University of California in Berkeley. When we lift weights, our muscles get bigger. The force of gravity is essential to keeping our bones strong. Here we show that physical force can play a role in the growth and reversion of cancer cells. The study involved growing malignant breast cells. There's some other word in there that I don't want to pronounce. Within a gel injected into flexible silicone chambers, this allowed the scientists to apply compression during the first stages of cell growth, effectively squashing the cells. Over time, the squeezed malignant cells began to grow in a more normal and organized way. Once the breast tissue structure was formed, the cells stopped growing, even when the compressive force was removed. Non-compressed cells continue to display the haphazard and uncontrolled growth that leads to cancer. The results were presented yesterday at the annual meeting of the American Society for Cell Biology in San Francisco. All right, final quick story we have for you. You know, it's not uncommon to hear about MMA fighters sustaining injuries. This one's a little bit different, though. It happened after a match. Is that what they're called? Matches? I don't really watch MMA fights. Competitions? Innings? I don't know. Is there a ball involved? I really have no idea how MMA fighting works. Former Ultimate Fighter hopeful Ray Elby, or Elb, didn't make it as a UFC fighter, but he made headlines this week after revealing he had a penis injury during sex with his girlfriend. Elb had previously come close to making a name for himself in the UFC reality TV show The Ultimate Fighter, but lost out in a preliminary bout to decide the season's housemates in 2009. Unfortunately for him, he's now hit the headlines for rather less pleasant reasons after sustaining a broken penis while having sex with his girlfriend in Malaysia. Incredibly, he has not only gone public with the painful and harrowing story, he's taken to YouTube to give a first-hand account of the injury in a self-posted video that is not recommended for those with a delicate disposition. Elb explains, in surprisingly matter-of-fact tone, what happened. Quote, I was having intercourse with my girlfriend and ended up breaking or fracturing my penis bone. Although there's no bone to break over there, right, in the penis? It's actually possible, guys. He revealed the injury caused intense bleeding and led him to pass out from the pain. He was rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. The doctor expects a full recovery. On his personal blog, he explained why he went public. Quote, "The biggest problem people suffering from this medical emergency encounter is not immediately seeking medical attention." I'm sorry. If I felt someone snap my penis and then I started peeing blood, I would head directly to the emergency room. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I hope my story helps someone with a similar injury in some way, as this experience is truly something you would never wish on anyone. LOL. He really did add the LOL. To any bitter ex-girlfriend still stalking the blog, smile today, as whatever karma you felt was deserved has been dealt. LOL. All right, let's listen to a little bit of this video. I want to hear this guy speak. I'm guessing the way it worked was she was on top of him riding up and down. Which, guys, come on. You know, you're having sex. Put in a little effort. You know what I mean? That's the lazy man way to get laid. You can do a little thrusting. It's okay, guys. It's not going to kill you. All right.
Was having intercourse with my girlfriend.
Hot.
Came out the top, and as it came down...
penis.
Ended up breaking, fracturing.
All right, so the penis popped out of her vagina as she was riding it, right? And then she came back down. She hit a little too hard, and it snapped.
Penis bone. It's actually possible, guys. Tore the urinary tract, tore some membrane. As it happened, you can imagine the shock and the horror that was going on. Jumped up from the intimate moment. Blood shooting out of my groin. Immediately tried to run to the shower. Yeah. Felt myself losing consciousness.
Pussy.
Tried to walk back to the bed, at which point I collapsed.
Wow.
Knocking myself out, giving myself 10 stitches.
This is an MMA fighter, right? And he starts bleeding from his penis and he passed out. Like, this is serious, man.
Coming through.
Then he cracked his head and lost a couple teeth.
On the ground, I saw myself in a pool of blood. Immediately crawled myself on the floor, elevated my feet.
Where the hell's your girlfriend during all of this? Did she leave?
Put a towel for some compression.
She thought she killed you. She left. Fled the scene.
Placed a block of ice over my groin section. Obviously, my girl, frantic. We're in a foreign country that doesn't speak English.
Oh, shit.
Gets the security of our condo to call 911 or the Malaysian equivalent of that. Me sitting there naked on the floor in a pool of blood. I have to have the entire security staff come up here to see me.
Super hot.
Not to mention the doctors.
A naked MMA fighter covered in blood. I'm interested. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, here we go. Love hearing from you guys most of the time. Some of the time. Around 20% of the time, I like to hear from you. All right, yes, go ahead, caller.
You get to me, this HM member, Charmy, calling in right now. I actually wanted to let you know I was having some trouble with the voicemail line the other day.
Oh, no.
I've actually been trying to call for a couple of weeks, and it was never working. I was always getting this really weird error voice coming on telling me that the voicemail line didn't work. And just today, I tried again, just out of sheer stupidity, probably. And I looked in my contacts list, and it turns out instead of 4463, I actually had your number as 4436.
So you're an idiot.
So I'm probably the biggest fucking retard in the history of...
I say the fucking phone number every day, 206-666-4463, but whatever. Okay, I understand. Look, you know, maybe you're a little dyslexic.
You, Timmy Boo. What do you call an African-American who graduates from medical school?
I don't know.
Ready?
It's got to be something that rhymes with nigger.
You call him doctor.
Oh. Doctor! Doctor! Doctor!
Oh, God, Tim. So, I called yesterday and was all pissy because you didn't post the show till like, 8 o'clock at night.
I know.
But you made up for it by replaying that Mario-themed sex-tastic classic.
Oh, yes. I'm very behind on these voicemails, by the way. I'm sorry.
Jagoo, Jimmy Boo, it's the pumpkin fucker calling. Hey, listen,
hello.
I gotta admit something.
Yeah.
If the end of the world's really happening, I gotta come clean with a couple things. So
right.
What I would really like to have happen is I want other freaks to call in and just start confessing everything that you want to, because the end of the world's happening.
Yeah, that's a good idea. If anyone wants to get anything off of their chest, now is a good time to call into the voicemail line. Apocalypse confessions.
Oh, that's what they say. I don't really believe that. But if all you freaks believe that, just start calling in. Confess your anything you want to Timmy Boo and all the listeners, because the end of the world is coming.
I will absolve you of your sins.
And what a better way to spill your guts. So listen, Timmy Boo, here's what I got to
confessions.
Confess. Over the years, I don't know if anyone else has ever done this. I kind of feel like a dick. I've called your show a couple different times as different voices and never mentioned that it was me. So,
son of a bitch.
This is me, the real pumpkin fucker. But sometimes I used to call you as, let's see, a guy named Stets. I'd go, yo, Mon. Mon, yo, what's up, Mon? And I'd talk like that.
And another, a horrible accent.
Another time, I used to call you the one summer and act like I was Schmitty. And I'd go, come on, Timmy Boo, it's me, Schmitty. I'm going to have a picnic and I'm going to be spooning you up some trouble. And I used to call us a couple different characters, so I'm coming clean now.
Okay.
It's only me. The
I don't care, quite frankly.
For me is that. So no more voices for me, in case the end of the world doesn't happen. But listen, freaks, call in. Confess your sins.
Yeah, that's
Timmy
true.
Timmy Boo can absolve you.
Yes, absolve. That's what. Did I say that? Okay.
Good, Tim. This is Rob from Cleveland. Woo! I just wanted to say good job on this shitty Night at the Movies thing that you did last week. This is the funniest goddamn thing you've done in a long, long time. I'm only 25 minutes in. I'm just watching it here on my iPhone while laying on the couch here, and I am laughing my ass off. You got to do this more. This is good.
Rob, I hope to see you in the chat room this Saturday. I think we're going to do it around 7 or 8.
All right, man. I'll keep watching and talk to you
I pulled
later.
Up
Bye.
To the house around 7 or 8. I yelled to the cab, you're home. Smell you later. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. Want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website, voicemail line for you. 206-666-4463. That's 206-66. Oh, God. It's your guy.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I help you?
Spread the distortion to all your friends about the podcast. If you're sideshow freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, fuck you. We'll see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday program. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Take it easy. What's been going on? I knew it all along. So just take it easy. You acted surprised and I just rolled my eyes. It's gonna be alright. Just so we're straight and you don't get the wrong impression. Don't need a silly little overdue confession. Just remember when you're over at his house undressing, he's just another sucker who's about to learn a lesson.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?